What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 25. So I have two really important points today before you scroll through past the intro, if you're like me and do that. First thing, the guest today is amazing. This is somebody who I have known, well, literally forever. Known this person forever, ever since I was born, because it is my brother. And outside of just being my brother and somebody that I looked up to growing up and somebody who I've spent most of my adult life working with in one way or another, he also is going to talk about some of the highs, some of the lows. He's now gone on to build a very successful business outside of, you know, just having a job and everything else, and some of the mindset things that he had to go through in order to get to where he is now. He talks about his family and his wife and his marriage and really just opened up. So it's an awesome, awesome episode. I was really, really happy to be able to talk to him, and now even more excited to be able to share it with you. Secondly, second most important thing today is that we're doing something new. So if you go to primalking.com, you can actually sign up for the newsletter. This is going to be a newsletter that goes out once a week. It's going to be kind of a recap of the podcast, some additional thoughts, some additional insight. So if that's something that you feel like would be beneficial to you, again, just go to primalking.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there every week. Again, you're going to get some really cool things there as well. So if you haven't subscribed already, I know a few of you already have. If you haven't, again, just go to primalking.com and you can subscribe there. So without further ado, though, the interview that we have teed up today is awesome. I hope you all enjoy it. And hey, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. All right, welcome back, everybody. So excited today for my guest. This is somebody who has written an amazing book all around sales and the sales process called Closer Secrets. He owns the company called Closer Secrets. He has built an extremely loyal fan base within the sales space, but also, more importantly than any of that, he's an amazing husband, he's an amazing father, and he just happens to be my brother. All right, everybody, I want to welcome on Mr. Randall Grizzle. How you doing, Randy?
Doing awesome, man. Thanks for having me, Derek.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, because you're my brother, we have to start off this conversation, just to make sure that we set it up the right way. So I have two questions for you, and you have to be 100% honest. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, who's better looking, you or me?
Oh, come on, man. That's easy. Like, I've always been a little better looking. So what's the next question?
Okay. Next question. Now that I know that you're not being 100% honest on this podcast, next question, who's more athletic?
Oh man, that's a close one. Oh. I'd say definitely, like, right now in this moment, you are, but yeah, you.
All right. So we can at least expect half of this interview to be truthful. All right. Just kidding. So where I want to start with, because obviously we grew up together and we have a lot of similar experiences, but we also, I think, in some ways have different reflections on them. So, like, maybe going back, because you have now, you've built up a company, and I know that you talk a lot about you don't want to be famous, you're not looking to be an influencer, but you have become an influencer in a way because of what you've been able to do. So, like, going back, like, do you see anybody, like, maybe a person, maybe an experience, anything like that going back to when maybe we were younger that's gotten you to where you are now?
That's a good question. I mean, you know this, like, obviously probably better than most, but I grew up with, you know, obviously you and stepsister, Amy, and my stepdad, your dad. And so growing up being, you know, growing up on a ranch in a small town, you know, my stepdad was always there for me. I didn't get a chance to really get to know my dad till I was 13 years old. And so definitely my stepdad was a big influence, but then, you know, more so than that, I had a couple people that in high school that really helped guide me. My high school football coach, Troy Pottinger, was amazing. He was kind of like the mix of a father figure and a coach. And he helped kind of get me started and get me lined out going to college and that. So I would say if I were to narrow it down to one person, it'd be Coach Pottinger.
Yeah. Well, your son's named Troy, right?
Yeah.
After him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. So because you grew up with a stepdad, not really knowing your dad, like, do you feel like that's motivated you in any way? Because some people will say when they grow up, maybe without like their biological father, or, you know, sometimes there can almost be like that feeling of being an outcast or something like that. So, I mean, do you ever think maybe it like pushed you in different ways because of that? Maybe because you just didn't totally feel like you fit in, or like, was there any of that going on?
Yeah, I'd say that's, you know, that's definitely there. Obviously, and anybody that has, you know, step parents, kind of probably understands that feeling. Like you guys are all blood, and I was kind of that stepchild, but, you know, there was never any time that I felt like I was loved less. And so I feel like all of that kind of happened for me. My dad, you know, kind of took his own path, and I feel like where I was at was where I was supposed to be.
So then when, as you got older, obviously you did well in sports. And I know that, like, for me, I feel like a lot of lessons I took from sports into later on in life, like competition, being competitive and everything else. Do you feel like sports did that for you as well? Like, was that a driving force for you?
Yeah, sports definitely helped me like so much. 'Cause like you said, it is like, you learn these different things in sports, but they all relate to life. And it's funny too, because I remember, you know, when we were kids, and how much younger are you than me, Derek?
4 years.
I know most people probably think Derek's older, but he's actually 4 years. He's 4 years younger than me. So I look back and I remember times, you know, with him in his full Hutch gear and his Vikings uniform in the living room with pads set up, and him trying to get past me. And I'd get on my knees and I would just bury this kid. He'd come at me full speed and I would just seriously abuse him. And then other times, you know, I'd get on my knees, we put on boxing gloves, and dude, like, I toughened that kid up for sure. Like, I'd be on my knees, but I'd give him some full knockout punches. And so I look back at that. And then the other thing is, just to mention, is you mentioned the other day, like, sometimes the hardest people to get to believe in you and support you is your family. And I look back and I think about the times that I was like, Derek, dude, you're too big to play quarterback. Dude, like, you're a lineman. You're like me. You know, like, you need to start playing line. This is when he was young. And he just always had that love for quarterback. And when I watched him win a state championship, I was like, he's right. Yep, he's a quarterback.
That's such a good point, though. And this is something that I've realized more so than ever with the podcast and just kind of, I guess, put myself out there more. And obviously you've been going through it for the last, 3 years or whatever it's been. Why do you think it's so hard for, like, the people, maybe not the people closest to you, right? Like, maybe not your wife or your brother or your mom or whatever, but like friends, like, why do you think it's so hard to support people so close to you when they do stuff that's crazy, whether it's a build a business like you're building, or, you know, build a podcast like I'm doing, or, I mean, insert whatever you guys out there listening to, because I know that so many people go through it, and it's like, honestly, it's like so depressing and heartbreaking in one sense, right? Like, if people are being honest about it, it sucks when you put yourself out there and it's like your best friends aren't sharing your stuff. They're not like, you know, like, man, you're doing awesome. It's funny, like, other people kind of come out of the woodwork and, you know, like, start supporting you, people that you probably never even met before. But it's like a lot of the people closest to you are like, dude, what's up with the podcast, man? Or what's up with this Closer Secrets business, man? Like, why do you think that is? Like, I seriously don't understand it. I have my theories, but, like, what do you think it is?
Dude, I wish I knew. I really, you know, it was something that more so in the beginning I kind of struggled with. It's like, dude, you know, I've been friends. We've been, you know, friends for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. And you're not really supporting my stuff, but this guy that I just met at this event, you know, he's all about helping me out and supporting what I'm doing. And I think part of that is, like, you really get a chance to see who your true friends are. Like, you're actually real friends, like, people that are actually freaking rooting for you. And like you said, it's not usually, you know, your wife's probably always going to support what you're doing, of course. And, you know, maybe your mom and stuff like that. But the thing is, you realize when you start doing your thing and you start to kind of level up, that you'll end up with, you know, kind of different people supporting you than what you might have thought. So in the beginning, I took things, you know, probably a lot more personal than I do now. Now I just look at it and like, I am where I'm at. The people that are supporting me are the ones that, you know, like truly want me to win. And the ones that aren't supporting me, like that tells the story that, you know, I'm glad that I know now.
If someone's out there right now and they're thinking about starting a business or they're thinking about quitting a job, you know, things that you've personally gone through over the past couple of years, and maybe they're worried to tell their parents, maybe they're worried to tell their friends for this exact reason, right? Because this is real. So just so all of you out there listening understand, like 100%, this is something that you will go through. You will go through a point where you're like, why is it that the people that are the closest to me aren't even helping me? They're not sharing my posts. They're not buying my stuff. They're, you know, spending $80 for a Nike shirt, but they won't wear my Closer Secret shirt or my, you know, Primal King shirt, whatever it may be, right? Like sometimes it's easy to get like bitter about it. Again, just in all transparency, right? So like, what do you do maybe, or what advice would you have for people out there that are getting ready to face that if they're not already?
Yeah, just, you know, kind of like I said, don't overthink it. The people that are going to support you are going to be the people that are going to support you. And in the beginning, you know, I was probably more so like, why isn't this person supporting me? You know, and I took those things, like I said, more personal. Where now it's just about like you with Primal King, like put yourself out there and the people that are interested and the people that want to support you will, and just be grateful for those people, you know, and you know, continuously do what you can to help them. And then the community will naturally grow. And what you figure out is that, Derek, you don't need your best buddy to support you, right? You know, that you grew up with. Maybe he's a little bit disappointed that he is, and it has nothing to do with what you're doing and everything to do with what he's doing. And so maybe he doesn't feel good about, or they don't feel good about where they're at, or they feel like, you know, maybe they deserve to do more than what they've done or this and that. And a lot of those things have zero to do with you and everything to do with them. So I just kind of like try to separate it. And like I said, look at it from the perspective of, you know what, I'm just grateful that I got this guy that's supporting me and, you know, this person that's supporting me. And the thing is, you know, that kind of changes too. Like sometimes you'll realize that people are supporting you for different reasons. And maybe if they're not, you know, kind of taken away what they're looking to get out of the relationship, they'll be gone. And so I think it's just about being true to yourself and being grateful for the people that do support you, and the people that don't, screw them.
I think it's great advice. Great advice. So I want to ask you, I don't know, it's probably been what, 2.5-3 years ago. We were working together at ClickFunnels. A lot of people who've been following the podcast know, you know, kind of some of that history, at least on my end. So there you are walking out of the building. It's your last day. You didn't have a business yet. Like you had been working on your book and getting that, you know, you kind of had some things, I guess, in the pipeline, but you weren't necessarily ready to start like getting money, right? And like actually sustaining your family.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking when you were walking out of the building knowing that like, I'm not getting any more paychecks from them. Like now it's up to me. Like what was your, was it anger? Was it like, I'll show them they mess, you know, like this, like what was the mindset when you had to make that transition?
Yeah. The truth is like, it was scary. Like when I was first walking out, it was kind of like, now I don't have any other option than to figure out how to make this work. Like the one thing that I figured out is I'm unemployable. I'm not a good employee, period. Like I don't like people having bosses and being told what I need to do and this and that. And I think like at that point, you're right. I had been working on things and, you know, like the way that it all kind of played out, and I spent, you know, 15 years on the phone, and the day that I left, I was, you know, basically in a 6x6 cube with no windows. And so it's like,
I had a window.
yeah, but you did. But you know, it's like, I've spent so many years of my life. I feel like I'm so good at this, and you know, this is where I ended up. And now, you know, someone's telling me I need to be there for 8 hours a day, and and this and that. And it was just like, so part of me was relieved. I'm like, I'll never be in a 6x6 cube ever again. And then the other part of me was like, now what? And we've had this conversation before, Derek. I feel like people really start to accomplish big things when you put their back up against the wall. And so when I left, like I wasn't in a position that I had, you know, a bunch of money put away and I had all this time. You know, I invested everything that I had into getting Closer Secrets going and struggled. Like the first year was a struggle. Like I did the book, I did these live events, and it was like everything that I could do just to keep myself and my family afloat. And so because of that though, and having my back up against the wall, that's when you really get the opportunity to spend a bunch of time. And so I was spending, you know, 12, 14 hours a day, you know, on the phone, like, you know, doing work, everything that I could to create some momentum. And I figured out basically everything that didn't work. Like, you know, I tried all these different things and struggled through them. And then finally just got to the point where I was like, well, this one thing's working, you know, like, and that one thing was, I knew that there was a gap between like all of these entrepreneurs that needed high ticket sales professionals. And there was all these high ticket, you know, all these sales professionals that were looking for opportunity to work with these entrepreneurs, but they didn't have that, you know, that connection. So basically, you know, my one thing that when I walked away and figured out that, you know, this is what worked was bridging that gap. So I had relationships with a bunch of entrepreneurs. I knew a bunch of closers. And so that was the one thing that started working. And so that's what we focused on and got really good at. And, you know, that's our main thing now.
So, you know, I've talked about this a few times, like the conversation that you and I had. I remember when I was going back and forth on whether or not I was going to quit, because I, you know, same thing, right? Like, I think you and I, and I don't know, we can kind of get into that maybe in a minute, but neither one of us, like we both had businesses like prior to now. You know, you had a business like in the concrete industry when you were pretty young. Obviously I had like the rain gutter business when I was young. And I remember talking to you being like, you know, I just don't think I'm quite ready yet. Like I don't have enough money set aside. I don't, you know, maybe this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And I remember you telling me, I was out on the back deck of our house here. And I remember you being like, dude, you're never going to be ready. Like you're never going to be ready until you do it. And then you'll figure it out. And I remember sitting there being like, I don't know that I like that. You know, like, I don't know that I want to like put myself in that situation, because the same way, like anytime you start anything new, there's going to be a lot of challenges. There's going to be financial challenges and like just stress that goes into trying to get some momentum with it. So do you think that like maybe somebody's sitting there and they're like, you know, I hate my job. I hate freaking my boss. I hate whatever situation I'm in. Would your advice to them be like, you're just going to have to do it even though you're not ready? Like if you truly want to do something else, like you're never going to be ready. Just do it. Like what do you think?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, a lot of times people struggle trying to do new things because they're still working that job. Right. So they're spending all that time at their job and they're trying to spend a couple hours here and there trying to figure out how their business works. And, you know, you could spend years and years doing that before you figure it out. Or, like I said, the way that I see people getting results the most is when you don't have any other options. Like it's a scary feeling. It's the most uncomfortable feeling. It's the worst feeling. But at the end of the day, you always figure it out. Like one way or another, like you're always going to figure things out. The struggle can be harder and, you know, that's normal. But just know that everything always works itself out. And as long as you have good intentions and you just kind of never quit or wimp out or give up or, you know, feel sorry for yourself, those types of things, just stay the course. Like that was the thing with this. Like I said, like I figured out, you know, the first year, a bunch of stuff that wasn't working, but I just knew that sticking with it and battling through it, that at some point, like it would all work itself out. And now, you know, we have around 100 closers that we have that are working with us and we have some amazing clients. Like that first year, a lot of the clients that I have, like, you know, had, I wouldn't try to work with them again. But now, you know, knowing what I know and having the experience that I have, I feel comfortable with the value that we're able to bring. And so that wasn't there in the beginning. And so spending all the time and failing, right? Struggling, gave us the you know, the experience that we needed to now have the confidence that we have and like know that what we do works. Like there's no doubt. It's just about, you know, getting the right people in the right places and making it happen.
Why do you think it is for yourself? Because obviously you've been in sales for a long time, worked with you 10 plus years within sales. We've done different things together. And as far as getting somebody to do something they wouldn't normally do, I don't know anybody better than you, right? Like I don't. It could be, you know, getting somebody to go and get your water bottle off the counter, right? Like the Will You Do It For Me award like 10 years ago that you got way back in the day. Or getting somebody to invest into a program that maybe they normally wouldn't do. Why do you, like, where do you think that ability came from? Is it because I feel like you've always had it, like going back to the days when we were little kids, it was like, you always had a way of like, if I didn't go and like, you know, get whatever, get something, make you a sandwich or something. You know what I mean? Like if I didn't do it, I almost would like feel guilty about it. Like, where do you think that came from? Is it something you feel like you've always had? Is it something you've developed? Like you have a way of getting people to do stuff they normally wouldn't do. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. That's an amazing skill to have because you can get people to do such extraordinary things that they wouldn't normally do because of that ability. Like, where do you think that comes from?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly where it comes from. I know it's something that I, you know, I try to instill into my kids. Cause I think, it, you know, at the end of the day, that's sales. And like you mentioned, the whole, Will You Do It This For Me award that came back in the day over at Brunson's. Cause I think then we had 50, 60 guys and, you know, I kind of had the, you know, I got this award because I was always asking people to do different things for me. So like part of me is like, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is. Everybody had a laugh about it, but now like that's what people do that run companies, right? Like people don't try to figure out how to do everything on their own. There's so many different things that I suck at, right? Like, you know, especially in the beginning, like I was really bad with a lot of technology. And I'm a lot better at a lot of those things now, but just understanding that that's not my strong point and bringing the right people in to have support the big vision that those, you know, they are good at those things is key. But like my kids, you know, I try to help them. Like last night, here's a good example. Last night, Sierra says, can we go to the store and get some ice cream? And I said, Sierra, I don't know. And then she goes, okay, I'm going to put my shoes on. I'll see you in the car. Right. And so it's like, you know, she's getting it. And I think that's an amazing thing. Like she's really good at assuming the sale, right. And kind of figuring out how to get what she wants. And the thing is the big difference between like manipulating, which maybe would have been what I did to you when you were a kid. And I'm like, hey, go do this for me. I will time you.
Yeah.
Because it was something that benefited me. Versus like persuasion, which is trying to get you to do something maybe that you wouldn't normally do that is going to benefit you. So it's like, you know, like with where you're at and, you know, walking away from a good job and doing those different things that you've done, making those hard decisions, you know, if I were to persuade you to do something, but it's for your benefit, like, and you do it and you see that those benefits, like that's an amazing thing. If I were to try to get you to do something that's just for the benefit of me, you know, that's manipulative. And I don't think anybody wants to be that guy.
Isn't that why it seems like sales does have such a bad name? Because people associate sales with manipulation, because that's the way I see it. It seems like most of the time people talk about greasy salesmen because, you know, everybody knows the greasy car salesman, right? Like that gets talked about all the time. And it's somebody trying to get you to buy a car that you probably don't want, don't need, whatever, but they just need it off their lot. But I mean, I would argue, having been in this space and having seen you and other people, if you have the ability to persuade other people to do things they wouldn't normally do, then and only then do you have the chance to actually change someone's life, right?
Isn't that what influencing is, right? Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, and a big part of that is for what we do, teaming up with the right people that have amazing products or services that are actually changing people's lives. Like, you know, one of the clients that we work with, Jay Shetty, for example, like his whole mission is to change the lives of a billion people. So we're a piece to that puzzle, right? So like having the understanding that everybody that maybe you get to step out of their comfort zone and do something maybe that they weren't planning on doing, like you're changing lives. And so if you have a product or a service that you're able to sell that you believe in, like to the core, you're like, you know, I would sell this to my mom, right? Another example, you know, we work with a guy named Satema Nali, and he does.
He's been personal on here.
So he does different stuff for like, you know, for mostly women, but he works with some men as well, but it's personal development stuff. And my wife went and did it. And so we sell his offer, and it's something that like, I already know, you know, every woman that we get to make that investment into themselves is going to walk away from that event a better, stronger, more confident person. So when you're selling products or services that at the end of the day are truly, everybody says this, but are you really truly changing somebody's life for the better? And if you have a product or service that you can sell, somebody that you can represent and provide that opportunity for somebody, then aren't you really doing them a disservice if you're not able to get them to make that commitment and get started? Right? So it's like all these offers that we have now, everything that we're selling, I don't have anything that we have, you know, all of these closers, all 100 of these closers that we're selling that I don't feel like is truly, honestly, helping these people. And I think that's kind of the key to, you know, the whole culture that we've created. That's the biggest thing that I learned working with Russell is, you know, like you mentioned, there's a culture of closers out there that are those greasy folks, right? That don't care about what they sell. They're just trying to make money. And so I would say the biggest differentiator between what we do as a company with Closer Secrets is we live by core values. And the acronym is GIVE. And it's really simple. The G stands for grateful. The I stands for integrity. The V stands for value. The E stands for energy. And so here's the reality. If you're grateful for the opportunity, right? Like you're excited to be there. You can see that you can see that this is something that is good for you, for them, for everybody. Like you're just truly grateful to be able to have the opportunity to work on the phone. Integrity, like there's never any room for lying. Or creating false gradients, maybe not lying, but you're steering somebody a direction, helping them, making them believe something that's not actually going to be true. Always got to have integrity. Value, you got to value every lead, every person that you're talking to, right? It's a human, you have to value it, you got to take care of it. And then energy, like you see people show up and the energy that they have is contagious. So if it's good energy, it's contagious. Bad energy, contagious. So everybody that we have on the team lives by these core values. We're all grateful. We all have integrity. We all value the opportunity, and we always have positive energy.
That's great stuff. That's great stuff. And I think that by you having those principles, those ideals, that's also contagious, right? So it's like maybe even outside of just the people that you're working with and that you're training, like it can have a ripple effect in the entire sales industry at some point. Right? Because if people see you being successful, having integrity, giving value, you know, being grateful for opportunities, you never know where that can spiral into, right? Because culture is contagious. Like we've been parts of good cultures and we've been parts of probably pretty rough cultures. And there's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah. And that kind of goes back to like what I mentioned, like learning probably, you know, what you don't want to do. Like I have, like you have, like I've been in this industry for a long time. So have you, and I've seen and learned a lot of things that I don't want to be a part of. I know the different things that I did want to be a part of. And I'm really grateful for just the community of the, you know, the culture of the closers that we've created. Like I'd put, you know, these closers that we have up against any of the best in the world. Like, I don't think anybody has a team like we have of people that are just good people that are proud to sell good products and services.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know a lot of them and they're good people. So I want to change gears a little bit. So obviously we grew up and, you know, we have the same mom and a different dad. So we got to witness a lot of marriages, a lot of divorces, You know, kind of within that. Now, you and your wife have been married for a long time. What, probably close to 15 years now? How long? Do you know how long?
Yeah, 16 years.
16 years. 17 years. Yeah. So again, like coming from how we grew up, the fact that I've been married almost 13, you've been married 16 years. Like a lot of people find it hard to believe, kind of knowing like how we grew up. And again, I know mom listens to this stuff and cringes, and I'm sorry, mom. But like, why do you think it is that you've been able to have such a long marriage, like coming from the background that we came from?
I think it's just something that we just honored our commitment. Like there's been times just like anything else that we've struggled. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's just that we see this life together being better, or this life like being better together. And knowing that we're going to struggle, like we're going to have struggles, but again, kind of just going back to the failure is not an option. There's been times that we didn't know if it was going to work. Just like anybody, like we've definitely had our struggles, but I can say like with confidence that I feel like our marriage is better today than it's ever been. And so we're just continuously making sure that we're doing the things for each other to, you know, keep going the right direction and working on ourselves. I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of times when people have marriage issues, they kind of point the finger the other direction. And I think taking accountability and trying to become better people ourselves is probably what's really helped our relationship as a whole, as far as, you know, our childhood. And obviously mom and your dad, they got divorced, and you know, is one of those things too that I look back and I think that, you know, if Dave would have, you know, had more personal awareness and worked on himself, like chances are they could have potentially stayed married, you know. But the other thing is that was a blessing. I think that I don't see that it was necessarily a bad thing. Like it brought our stepdad Chris into mom's life, and he was just a sober guy, you know, and he was always there for us, like through our high school years. And he did a lot of the things that dad didn't do for us. And so it was a lot different. Like he was always way into sports, and I thought that was amazing, especially going through high school. He was always helping us and battling with us, you know. I don't know if that really answers your question, but I just think it's like anything else, like focusing on yourself, being the best version of yourself that you can, and then forgiving, you know, and trying to work through things when you do have a disconnect.
So now that you have obviously your own kids who are getting older, what's maybe one thing that if you could teach them one thing, what would it be? Because obviously we're always trying to mold our kids and trying to get them to live better than what maybe we did, or give them a better childhood maybe than what we did as parents. You know, I think that's true for just about everybody. Everybody looks back at their childhood and they're like, I want my kids to have better, to do better, to be better, all of these things. But what's maybe like one thing that if your kids just ignore everything you've taught them, they would remember this one thing?
Yeah, I think that just to keep a clear mind, like don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. Right. They're seeing a lot of things for the first time. Now they're at that age that they're starting to, so, you know, some of the kids in their school are just doing vaping and smoking dope, and, you know, they're going to start seeing people do drugs and those types of things. And I just really want them to not try to feel like they need to do those things to fit in. I want them to keep a clear mind and have the confidence in themselves to make the right decisions. So like if I were to die today, I hope that we've done a good job raising them to have that confidence to not feel like they need to do what maybe the crowd's doing.
I think that's great advice, because it is, right? I mean, I look back on my own life and I think sometimes you get yourself into bad situations maybe because you lack the confidence to tell people no sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You know, you talk about peer pressure and everything else, but so much of it is just wanting to be accepted so much that basically you're like, okay, I'll do that stupid thing that normally I wouldn't do, but because I want to fit in, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I think that's great advice. So then, as you look forward, like, what do you see, like, what do you see the path being from here? Like, do you want to grow Closer Secrets to be the biggest collection of closers for entrepreneurs? Do you have other aspirations maybe outside of that? Like, what do you see maybe the next step being?
Yeah, I think that with Closer Secrets, the main thing is just continuously serving the clients that we do have at the highest level. And really, like, a lot of people sell different products and services and those things, but like with what we sell, it truly is a partnership, right? When somebody makes an investment with us, from that point on moving forward, we make money together. So that's why, like, I've mentioned this to you, you know, this, like, I haven't been doing a lot of different things as far as marketing and stuff like that, because we have the clients, my dream clients. We have our dream clients already. I'm not trying to bring on more clients. I just want to help those clients that we have really grow their companies. And I think by doing that, we can accomplish all the goals that we want to accomplish with Closer Secrets. The other thing is too, is like, obviously I'm like anybody else. I am driven. I like making money, but really the most important thing for me is to figure out and have a company that, and the people in the company that help me have freedom, right? And like these next few years, I was at an event, you know, a couple months ago, and somebody said, "What's your goal this year?" And I said, "To make it to as many of my kids' games as possible. Like, I don't ever want to miss games because of work, because my first priority is my kids." And so, you know, for me, the most important thing is to build this company to a way that we can provide amazing service, awesome value, and at the end of the day, I can go spend the time with my family, because that's why I'm doing all this anyways.
Why do you think it is that, you know, especially with your daughter, you know, and for privacy reasons, like, don't want to talk too much about it, but like, why do you think it is that she's excelling so much in sports right now? I know that obviously Troy's a little bit younger, but now she's getting into high school and she's, you know, getting selected to all these high level teams. I know she didn't get the athleticism from you. So what do you think it is?
Yeah, it's true. Like when I met my wife, I was like, dang, like she's some seriously good breeding material. Like we could have some super athletic kids. Cause you know, she played, she's a D1 athlete. She played at BSU. So both of us just have, you know, got sports in our blood. But I think with Sierra, it's just that she's got that Mamba mentality. Right? Like she just loves the freaking game and she does the work. Like she really is a special kid. She goes to practice. She'll come home. We got a YMCA just right down the road here from our house. And she's a gym rat. Like it's all she wants to do. Like she'll have games, like, and she's always done this. Like she'd have a game on Saturday, come home and go down to the Y and play basketball for 3 hours after a game. And the other thing is like Valerie is always, she loves volleyball too. And like, so she played college basketball, but she probably could have played college volleyball. So like they've been peppering and playing since Sierra was old enough to walk, you know? So it's just been kind of something that she grew up doing, and she loves the game and she loves doing the work. And like, I love the fact that we're able to do these different things and support her with her dreams. Because like you said, when we were kids, we weren't flying to 7 different states to play different sports when we were freshmen in high school.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's been working on the game for so long that, yeah, she's excelling. There's, you know, it's exciting.
Do you ever make, like, deals with her? Because when you talk about the mentality, I think that, you know, having obviously 4 kids of my own, it's like I can see the mentality differences between one of my kids to the next, even with the twins being 2. It's like some kids I feel like are just kind of born with it. But are there things maybe, and the reason why I ask is because maybe there's somebody out there that's like, you know, I want my kids to be passionate about something. Maybe it's sports, maybe it's art, maybe it's, you know, whatever. But it's like all my kid wants to do is sit on their damn phone all day long. They're not passionate about anything other than Minecraft or, you know, whatever game. Like, are there things maybe that you've done with her? Is it Val being out there playing with her? Is it, you know, maybe things that you've instilled with her mindset wise, or like anything maybe that somebody could take away and be like, yeah, maybe I could incorporate that to help out my kids get to that level?
Well, like I said, I really do think a big part of it, it's just been instilled since she was so little. Like, so she just grew up doing it. And because of that, she, you know, all through sports growing up, she's been that kid on the team, right? That you can tell has just spent that extra time. So I think that's, then when you start to excel, then you start getting that feeling, right? Like she loves everybody telling her how good she is. Everybody knows who she is. Like, we'll walk through the mall and somebody else will be like, oh, you're Sierra. Like, you play at Mountain View. You're the freshman that played varsity or this and that. She loves all that, of course, yeah. Right? So I think once she kind of started getting a taste and understanding that she is special, it just got, she's just more and more and more and more time. And so.
So now the flip side of that, how do you keep her from being cocky? How do you keep her from being so overconfident that maybe she stops putting in the work, or, you know, maybe starts being a tough teammate to have?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, she is, like, she's definitely confident, but at the same time, like, I feel like she's just a cool kid, right? Like, she is a natural leader. And there's times that, you know, I kind of got to put her in check a little bit, but for the most part, she is pretty humble. But like, back to your kind of question about what do you do if your kid wants to do, just kind of, you know, loves the video games or this.
I know
and
where
that.
This is going.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just kind of at one point, cause Troy likes playing video games a lot. Right. But he plays sports. He plays basketball, baseball, wrestling.
He's made a big football team. Right.
Yeah. He's playing on a club football team. So he's doing well. But he's not doing, like I said, like the stuff that Sierra does where she comes home, goes to the Y and does all these workouts and this and that. Cause he does, he loves video games too. And so for the longest time, I'd give him a bunch of grief about it. That never helped. So basically now I'm like, you know, I just tell him like, what you spend all of your time doing is what you're going to be really good at. And so if you want to be really good at video games, like, be the best. So for the longest time, I'd give him grief about it. But now I'm like, dude, you got 5 hours in today. Like, I hope there's nobody that can beat you. Okay, because now they have college scholarships and stuff for kids for video games. And so maybe that is his thing. And if that's his thing, it's just one of those things that I guess you just start to learn to support what they want to do.
Yeah. No, I think that's good stuff. All right. So I want to kind of start wrapping it up here. One of the things that I think probably both of us have, and again, like, it's another thing to where I'm not really sure why we have it, but I feel like we both have, and again, I don't want this to sound arrogant, but I feel like we're both very good leaders, like captains of the football team, basketball team, stuff like that growing up. I feel like we both have a very entrepreneurial like mindset, spirit, whatever you want to call it as well. Where do you think that comes from for you? Because again, like growing up, you know, we our mom worked jobs. Like, she wasn't running businesses. She kind of has her own business now and has gone on to do awesome with real estate and everything else. You know, my dad had a ranch, I guess, but it wasn't like he was quote unquote a business person or an entrepreneur necessarily. He was a rancher. And so it seems like so often you see people who are entrepreneurs, their kids grow up as entrepreneurs, and it's like it's bred from generation to generation almost. Why do you think we're that way?
It's funny, man. And I think it goes back to one of the first questions that you asked, like how sports kind of influenced our lives. And I know, like, for me, for kind of like, you know, from a young age, I loved sports. So by the time I got into high school, I was one of those leaders. And being, you know, those leaders in high school sports, like, is like, you know, it helped, like, I guess it helped me really figure out that it doesn't matter if it's sports or business or anything else. Like, I'm a leader. That's just what I am. It's just, so I think that, like you mentioned in the beginning and asked, as far as sports go, how do you think that kind of formed who we are? Like, I think it showed me at a young age that I'm a leader, and it doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball, you know, any of these sports. It's the same thing with business. So with business, it, you know, it took some time, but once you start learning how everything works, it's like, hey, come over here on this side. Like, I'm going to show you exactly what you need to do to be successful at this, just like we do with sports. So, and I think it's the same thing for you, because we're a lot alike. And, you know, I think it really does go back to the fact that it started at a young age and just kind of spills through the rest of your life.
See, I wonder too, and again, like, maybe I need to have a psychiatrist or psychologist or something come on, but I feel like a lot of times, because of the way that we grew up, and again, I'm not like saying we grew up bad, right? Like, we had parents who cared for us, which is way more than I know a lot of people can say when they grow up even. But I also feel like we had to figure out a lot of stuff when we were kids. You know what I mean? Like, there were times where mom and dad weren't home and we were hungry. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I look at my kids and I'm like, man, if me or mom weren't here, you guys would starve to death. And like, when I was my daughter's age now at 10 years old, like, that's when, you know, mom and dad were getting a divorce and they were partying a lot, out drinking. And it was like, they might come home at 7. They might come home at like midnight. And one way or the other, like, we got to figure this out. Like, we've got to figure out how to get dinner made. We've got to figure out, you know, different things. Like, sometimes we got to figure out how to get home from sports practices, whatever it is. And so I wonder, like, I look back and I'm like, you know, maybe some of the things that I feel like were bad about our childhood actually were the things that have driven us to be where we are, because like, we learned the ability to just figure things out, even if like, we didn't want to have to figure things out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's spot on. I think that's also part of where the leadership comes, like, before the sports, right? Yep. Because like, before we started playing sports, we had to figure out all those things, you know? So, and you're right. Like, there were times that, you know, we had to figure out like, what was for dinner, right? And like, you know, how we are going to get home, and trying to figure out all those things are probably the type of the same things that I said that you got to figure out when you become an entrepreneur. There's all these different things, and it's just a matter of like, you have no other option but to figure it out. And yeah, so like you said, like, our childhood, like, I wouldn't change it anyway. I know that there's certain times that I'm like, you know, I hope that my kids don't have it too easy.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, we want to have all these different things for our kids that we didn't have. But at the same time, like, I'm really happy. I feel good about the way that I turned out, the way that we turned out.
Yeah. You know?
So my kids definitely have it. They just have it different, I guess, than we did.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. All right. So last question, obviously on the podcast, I talk a ton about liberation. I talk about lifestyle, and then finally legacy. So the day comes to where you are gone. What do you want the legacy of Randall Grizzle to be?
I want my legacy to be that I really loved people, right? Like, that, you know, we're all only here for a little while, and the people that were a part of my life, that they really felt like I always was there to do the best I could to help them, you know, with my family, my kids, everybody. I just want them to say, you know, he was an amazing person. Like, he loved people. Like, he always put his heart on his shoulder and did everything he could to make people feel good.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. All right. So where can people find you? They hear the interview and want to follow you along social media. Where do they follow you at there? Want to check out a little bit more into your life, your company? Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, randallgrizzle.com, closersecrets.com, Randall Grizzle on Instagram. So any of those places. We have a couple private groups. If you're interested in like sales opportunities, you can join Grateful Closers Facebook group. And then there's also Closer Secrets private Facebook group as well.
Okay, so randallgrizzle.com. closersecrets.com. You can follow him on Instagram at Randall Grizzle. And then, yeah, if you are out there and you're like, hey, I've always kind of wanted to look into sales, or I wanted to see what this is all about, check out the Grateful Closers Facebook group for sure.
Yep. Perfect.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, I had a ton of fun. Time went fast, and I appreciate you coming on. Everybody go out there. If you haven't, you can buy the Closer Secrets book. Got a lot of good swag. Like, what's your swag shop again?
Oh, yeah, you can go to closersecretsgear.com, and you can get some great full gear, some Closer Secrets gear, some things like that. So, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, a lot of different opportunities. So, again, appreciate you. Love you, buddy. Love you, brother. And we'll see you guys all next week.
Love you too, bro. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.